Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to, some call it Thursday, we call it Friday Eve, but we're glad you're with us all the same. And thank you for joining us on a show where JP is pushing buttons on the board. Hey man, how you doing?
Doing good. Thumping Alabama basketball win last night on in a good mood today.
So you're all happy?
Yeah, I'm all happy.
Warm and fuzzy.
Yeah.
All right.
The game went to like 10 o'clock though, so a little bit past my bedtime. But anyways.
It was a sacrifice you had to make.
Yeah, I was
indeed
willing to make it.
I understand. All for the team.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, we got a great show laid on for you. So by the way, this is gonna be interesting. Some of y'all who've been around the show for a long time, you remember that we've had a couple of personalities that have been with us in the past, and we still love them, and they're just not a part of our day-to-day right now. Actually, there's only one of those that's still around town that we can just go grab like this. But yeah, so today is the day we usually do Butters and Lee, except Butters had some lame excuse about having to do something somewhere, see a man about a dog, I don't know. But anyway, so Butters couldn't be here today. Dang. What are we going to do? Guess who I got? We're going to have Boomers come on for the day. So, yes, those of y'all been around for a while, you remember Boomer, absolutely, the Monkeypox Task Force Commander. Anyway, Boomer is going to be on today, along with Lee from Huntsville. So, Butters and Lee is going to be Boomers and Lee for today. So, we're looking forward to that at 4 o'clock today. Stand by for Boomer and Lee. And then I've got a triple dipper bar none. Hit it, man.
The triple dipper. Three stories you've got to know.
That's right, the Triple Dipper, three stories, three themes, if you will, that you got to know as we run today's show. So first out the gate, I'm going to spend some time unpacking probably one of the more serious topics of our day. This is, in my opinion, if there's an existential crisis for America, it's this, and that's, I'm calling it at the border, the southern border. Listen, I cannot tell you how anxious I am to see Tom Homan come in as the new czar for the border. And yeah, we need it. Now, like for such a time as this, you know what I'm saying? I mean, this is, I hesitate to use words like existential threat because I feel like they're overused, but I do believe this one applies. What has been happening at our southern border, what is happening to people in our interior because of what happens at our southern border, the strains on our system, all of it, every bit of it, it needs to get fixed and it needs to get fixed fast. And we're going to talk about it at the border, number one on the Triple Dipper. Number two, my monologue will cover part of this, and then I'll talk some more about what happens when you're in a leadership vacuum. And I'm going to talk about both state and federal, and I'm going to name names. And I'll be honest with you, we are in a leadership vacuum right now, and there is no time that a leadership vacuum will go unfilled. It'll get filled. The question is by who? So yeah, we're going to talk about it. Number two on the Triple Dipper, the leadership vacuum. And then number three, we're going to take a look at some financial boondoggles. I mean, decisions made that you look at it and go, well, that wasn't quite what you planned, was it? And yet you used our taxpayer dollars to get it. And oh, by the way, it was a financial boondoggle. So just like we have words like jackassery and cacistocracy and cod swallop, now we also have boondoggles. So just stand by for that one. We'll cover it, number three on the Triple Dipper. All right. Let me jump into today's Right Side Way opening monologue. And I said it a moment ago, and I'm serious about this, we are in a leadership vacuum. The world is in a leadership vacuum right now. I mean, the United States of America still holds the position of being the world superpower, maybe the sole world superpower. But our nation has a pitiful, doddering, out-of-touch man at the helm. And I'll be honest, sometimes I feel like our state, Alabama, is in much the same boat. Now, make no mistake, like I said, vacuums do not stay empty. In the absence of strong elected executive leadership, and that's what I'm talking about, I'm focusing on the executive branch right now. In the absence of strong elected executive leadership, meaning a president or a governor, in the absence of someone strongly holding those roles, someone will rise to fill the vacuum. Sometimes it'll be a non-elected bureaucrat or a member of a body from another branch of government or a member of society who's able to speak into the moment and people turn to them and listen. But it's not the will of the people per se. When the elected executive branch leadership abdicates or hides or folds, their role is going to be filled by unelected leaders, and that's not always good. Now, the world can see that the Biden administration is one big empty suit. It just is. I mean, at the recent G20 summit, Biden was backbenched. I mean, literally backbenched. He's not just a lame duck. Now he's just like being tolerated. Press reports show that he missed major photo ops with other world leaders. The press was even kept back from the podium so he couldn't have to worry about them asking him questions about things like Ukraine. He looked tired. He looked defeated. And the world can see that Biden has no concern for our own nation's borders. And the world is watching as Biden accelerates war in the Ukraine half a world away. And I'll be honest with you, I'm somewhat pessimistic. Very much so. And we got two more months of this. And all we can do is hope. Now, do you remember the movie Patton? George C. Scott. He famously played General George Patton. What a great movie. What a great portrayal. I think he won an Oscar for it. There was one scene in that movie, which was true, by the way, where Patton had been reading German Field Marshal Erwin Rommel's own book on tank warfare. Well, that was his opposition, right? So he read Rommel's book. Well, we got waxed, the Americans did, at the Battle of Kasserine Pass, the first battle. And then we met the Nazi army again at another second battle of Kasserine Pass in North Africa. And Patton put a whopping on Rommel. And at one point in the end of the battle where he could tell the tide had turned, up on a hillside watching with his binoculars, it says that Patton jumped to his feet and yelled, "Rommel, you magnificent SOB, I read your book." Well, that's just it. Right now, all of the world's bad actors have already read Biden's book. We all have. I don't have to look far to get an idea of how President Biden handles foreign policy crises. I mean, remember, he was already a part of the White House leadership when he served as Barack Obama's vice president. And in 2011, an Obama White House officially coined the phrase "leading from behind" to describe then-President Obama's Libya policy. That would be the same lead from behind policy that resulted in a complete power vacuum in the wake of the overthrow of terrorist dictator Muammar Gaddafi. Even more infamously, the attack on the U.S. consulate in Benghazi that saw our ambassador and several other brave men killed. And by the way, for many of us, Benghazi ain't going away. And during that same administration, the Obama-Biden administration, the notion of leading from behind got us the great Russian reset with then-Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. They caused the U.S. to reduce its arms while Moscow did nothing. In the same vein, Russia then annexed the Crimean Peninsula, unchallenged. And U.S.-Russian relations went south. That same lead-from-behind strategy under Obama-Biden caused the U.S. to pull out of Iraq abruptly on a timetable, by the way. A timetable. Not on a boots-on-the-ground discussion about what's happening, conditions on the ground for withdrawal. No, they used a timetable, a calendar. They announced it to the enemy. As a result, we came close to losing the Iraqi government, and we saw the rise of ISIS in Iraq and Syria that caused a resurgence of troops to the region. Yeah, leading from behind saw the Obama-Biden administration enter into a massively lopsided set of deals contrary to U.S. interests. We had a climate deal with China, where they might stop increasing carbon emissions, but we certainly did. A nuclear deal with Iran that caused the U.S. to ship pallets of cash to the Ayatollahs and get nothing but platitudes from them. Even to this day, they call for death to the U.S. and Israel. How about the fact that national security and foreign policy expert James J. Carafano, writing for the Heritage Foundation in 2015, he said the Obama-Biden lead-from-behind strategy put the U.S. into full retreat on the world stage. Having said all that, now there's President Biden. Yeah, he's the man, the commander-in-chief, the leader of the free world. And my concern is he brought the checkerboard to the chess match. Biden continues to lead from behind, not only in his policy, not only in his decision-making, but just in the feckless and tired and defeated manner for which he presents our country to the outside world. And as much as I hate to say it, I also feel much the same about Alabama's current governor, Kay Ivey. Now look, I've known Kay Ivey personally for over a decade. We campaigned together, we served together, and I love her as a person, but I'm struggling to point to her accomplishments for the past several years as governor. Think about it. Do you remember what they were? Besides the fact that she ran an election where she did not have to do a single confrontational time on the dais with her opposition up there in the primary. No, she did one commercial where she called herself a high stepper, and that was all. Questions to this day abound about her health. A few weeks ago, medics had to be called as she grew faint at an event. The governor's staff keeps her sequestered. She's typically only out for ribbon cuttings and scripted events. And I watch as our neighboring states have governors like Ron DeSantis and Tate Reeves and Bill Lee and even Brian Kemp in Georgia who, like them or not, they get out front and they push for policy and they lead on their platform issues. When is the last time you saw Governor Ivey seem to lead from a heartfelt out front position? I mean, giving a scripted speech to the Rotary Club of Birmingham is not the same thing as leading on the issues of the day. Using a press release is not the same thing as lobbying for principled policy. Unfortunately, Governor Ivey appears to be leading from behind. So Harvard Business Review published a piece 10 years ago. They talked about leading from behind. They tried to describe it in an overly rosy kind of piece. The author tried to make it as if leading from behind seemed real glossy. It was all kind of cool. He even quoted Nelson Mandela. The quote by the author in that Harvard Business Review piece about leading from behind said that Mandela, in his autobiography, equated great leaders to a shepherd, saying they stay behind the flock, letting the most nimble go out ahead, whereupon the others follow, not realizing that all along they are being directed from behind. Well, that's neat. But this ain't that. There are no nimble others prepared to butt heads with Russia and China. There are no Alabama governor shining moments in the spotlight, inspiring Alabama's constituents. None. It is always possible to find others who will fill a leadership void. Any leader worth their salt is not going to impress, engage, and win the day by standing in the back and egging others on to do that which they are unwilling to do on their own. No, that's not leadership from behind. That's actually fecklessness. Plain and simple. The current president does not inspire confidence. The current president has a legacy of losing on foreign policy, hosing it, really, on foreign policy, and still pretending that it's his strong suit. The current president is a demoralizing example of what happens when someone is elected on personality, or anti-personality in this case, with no real inkling about their ability to affect policy. Remember, I've said it on this show many times that Joe Biden has had the luxury of never being in charge of anything in his entire life. He enjoyed the privilege for years, for decades really, of rhetoric without responsibility. The same man who was VP for some of the most awful decisions on the world stage like Iran, Libya, Iraq, Afghanistan, Crimea, North Korea, he's still clinging to the helm for the big game with every single one of those hotspots still testing us. Because they all read his book. And it ain't good. And Alabama? I mean, Alabama is still listed as one of the reddest states in the nation, where the cost of living is better than most of the country, where business journals continue to rank us as one of the best places in the nation to establish a new business, a state with one of the highest per capita rates of veterans among its population, with mountains and lakes in the north and fertile plains in the center and white sandy beaches in the south, a place with massive potential that is begging for out-front gunslinging leadership. But we don't have it. But think about this. In 2 months, a new president takes the reins in D.C. Whew. And believe it or not, in a mere 6 months, the race for governor of Alabama opens up its primary season. So keep your eyes open, because leadership matters. Because leadership vacuums will be filled. And we deserve strong, out-front leadership. No more of this feckless leading from behind. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Yeah, I really wrestled with this morning, putting this together. Because I write these monologues fresh every day, and the idea of calling out my friend, Kay Ivey, but she's also my governor, Kay Ivey. I have no trouble calling out Joe Biden, but some of y'all may be surprised that I would call out a Republican. But listen, when you see leading from behind, and you want leading from the front, you got to say something. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, saving the world one soundbite at a time. 833-687-4448. That's the text and call line. Same thing for both text or call. 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Text or to call it. And we got a bunch of y'all already texting in, so apparently that one struck a nerve. I'll get to those text messages momentarily. Got to remind you guys, too, by the way, the show is not just radio-bound, because we are, this is a radio show, obviously, but we are available streaming online in a variety of locations. You can get us on Rumble, you can get us on YouTube, you can get us on both of our Twitter platforms, my personal one, which is at @SendPhilWilliams, and then the other one for RightSide_Media on Twitter, X. You can watch the show. I say watch because you're actually, you can get the audio, but you're actually You're getting to look inside the Right Side Studios. So anyway, all said and done, we're out there, and every time we announce that, we get more followers. If you go to YouTube, by the way, or any of them, am I saying that right? Any of them, really. Mm-hmm. Any of those resources that we're online, if you wouldn't mind, please hitting a subscribe or a follow. We would certainly appreciate it, because all of our numbers are ramping up, and that's what we also need to be able to grow as a company. So
we're getting closer and closer to 600 subscribers on YouTube.
Come
we
on.
Are 580 right now.
And our goal is 1,000. That's our first next major milestone.
Yep.
All right. Hit it. Hit it. Hit it, you good ruffians. All right. Let me get some text messages. Greg from Athens says, musings of a time of opportunity. I don't know what this is. Okay, Greg, I cannot do this. You sent me a screenshot of like an entire page of handwritten cursive, and I don't know what this really means. So I will take a look at this at another time. But Greg, thank you very much. Written in different color ink too, by the way. Ronnie from Athens says, why do they wait 2.5 months after someone's elected before they take office? There's so many things that the one leaving could do to harm the one coming in. I got a better one for you than that. Did you know that across the state, if a county revenue commissioner is elected, they wait a year to take office? Can you imagine the amount of accounting that can be corrected, if you understand what I'm saying, in the next year is unbelievable. And you also look at how much can happen in a year. So it's crazy. But yeah, so Ronnie, this is because the executive branches of the both the state and the federal, they need time for transition. So there's going to have to be like look at Trump right now, trying to get his cabinet. The cabinet requires confirmation. You've got to assemble your team. You got to be able to promote your policy. You got to work on getting all your security briefings and everything in place. Get your security clearances as needed. So there's a ton that has to be done. And I guarantee you right now they're working 12-hour days trying to get all of it done. And so 2.5 months feels like forever to the voters, but I guarantee you there's a few transition teams that wish they had more time.
And, you know, I bet that was established in good faith, expecting that the current sitting president wouldn't try to do something reckless like, you know, try to start a war with Russia before he leaves office.
There is that.
Yeah.
That's that thing that is out there right now when you have lead from behind.
Yep.
All right. We got a lot more. I got more text messages, and I got a bunch of Triple Dipper stuff to go through with you. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. I mean this one, the one I'm sitting in, Alabama. Y'all, Alabama. This show, whew, goes way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. All right, big doings over here at Right Side. We got a lot going on. We're streaming the show online right now for those of y'all that want to pick it up through your interconnections, internet. We've also got it up on our social media. And, of course, we're live on the radio and multiple stations across the northern part of our state. We love this audience and appreciate you guys doing all you do to make us feel like we're hitting the marks. Text messages are piling up. I'll get to those momentarily. I got to say, though, you got the news today about Matt Gaetz.
Yeah, I was a bit surprised, honestly. If it was going to fail, I kind of expected him to ride it all the way. I did not expect him to withdraw beforehand.
You know, so here's the story, in case y'all hadn't heard. Matt Gaetz, Congressman Matt Gaetz from Florida, nominated by President Trump to be the next Attorney General, just withdrew his name from consideration. And he said he did it, and Trump even said he did it because he did not want to be a distraction to the overall nomination process and to the new incoming administration. So, you know what that tells me, though, Bud? I mean, it just tells me he didn't have the votes, and he wasn't going to get there.
I mean, yeah, I fully understand why, and I appreciate his reasoning why, but I don't know, knowing how Matt Gaetz is, I kind of expected him, even if he knew he didn't have it, kind of be stubborn and go to the end.
But
I'm glad he did not do that.
I'm glad he didn't either, and I don't think that would have been the mature decision to do.
Yeah.
I also imagine that there was a discussion. It wasn't Matt going, well, Matt wants it and Matt doesn't want it and Matt's going to make it. I guarantee you, the Trump team said, Matt, this ain't working out, dude.
Yeah, I mean, I understand it's Matt Gaetz, but it also makes me worried. If there will be speed bumps from, in other words, I'm worried the Republicans in the Senate are not going to do their job to make Trump's nominations as smooth as possible. I get it. It's Matt Gaetz. You know, obviously he's the bit of the wild card, and people knew that this one may cause problems. But also, it makes me worry with the other nominations, like a Pete Hegseth or something, if that may cause issues.
I'm gonna be honest with you. I bet that there was also some negotiation. I bet that there was a Lisa Murkowski. Name me some of my other just squishy ones, and I guarantee you they were in the center of it. Yeah. And they were saying, we will vote against both Hegseth and Matt Gaetz, but if you get rid of Matt Gaetz, we'll give you the vote for Hegseth.
But that's just so. Does this happen on the Democrat side? This is my problem with this, though. You know, I feel like Republicans get.
I'm not telling you it was good. I'm just telling you it's probably what happened.
Republicans can't get out of their own way sometimes, and it's annoying, but.
Yeah, I'd love to believe it was all principle, but it's mostly because there's just different kinds of Republicans if you get down to it. All the Democrats seem to be pretty much in lockstep. People accuse us of being in lockstep. Shoot. Yeah. Listen, you've never seen the inside of one of our caucus meetings in Montgomery.
But that's part of the reason why they're so successful at what they do is because they are all unified, it seems, and the Republican Party is... It's too many times we're not unified enough.
Well, and I don't mind people having a differing opinion. I really don't. And I don't think you always have to be in lockstep. Mm-hmm. But on the things like this that I think are what I would consider to be, this is the team piece right here. A piece of legislation you may have a principal difference with, I get it. In this particular case, though, this is for the team.
Exactly.
And this is one where I think that the Murkowskis and others should just freaking get out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you not?
Yeah.
Well, why would you not is because they've got a beef with something and they needed something on their own. And you give me a little something over here, I might help you over there.
Put in their own interest above their constituents' interest.
Too.
So
yes, that happens too. What is her name from Maine? I'm drawing a blank. What's the female senator's name from Maine who is so friggin' squishy? And I think she's actually up for re-election next time too.
Is it Susan Collins?
Susan Collins. Thank you very much. Yes. Susan Collins, Lisa Murkowski. We used to have to deal with Mitt Romney. But all said and done, there are some who would stand in the way just because they can. And there are some who will stand in the way because they want something first. And then there are some who will stand in the way because who knows what. Anyway, the bottom line is I don't think Gaetz got out because of that report that they're talking about. I don't think so. I don't think Gaetz got out because Gaetz changed his mind. He didn't really want it. I think that Gaetz got out because truly it was a total distraction, and the only way they could make a deal on the others was to have Gaetz drop out.
So now does he withdraw his resignation from...
I don't know. It's a great question. I don't know if it was a contingent resignation, like I'm offering my resignation pending the confirmation hearings.
I mean, he resonated pretty fast. I mean, literally the day he was nominated, I think, so...
And he may have had to, but I don't know if that was a contingent resignation or if he's truly out. I would be shocked to find out that he can't go back to work.
Yeah, I think that with having the speaker Mike Johnson I hope he finds a way to.
There's going to be both state law and federal law as to what a resignation means and how it was presented. I don't have the answer to that sitting here right now. Interesting thing is one of the. Proposed replacements for AG is Senator Mike Lee, and I could see that. I like Mike Lee a lot. That guy's solid as a rock.
A lot of people want Ted Cruz.
I'd be happy with Ted Cruz.
He'd be good, but who would fill his spot in the... So I feel like we've talked about this before, but remind me, how does it... So like if Ted Cruz just won the Senate seat or, you know, won a re-election and then he goes to be AG, how do they go about filling that spot?
And every state may have a slight nuance in their laws, but typically if they are in the first half of their term, then there would be a special election. But in the interim, the governor gets to appoint.
Okay.
So I think what they would look at, though, is that Ted Cruz has had a very much closer election than some would think. They're going to want this to be in a place like a Florida where it's bright red, solid Republican governor, and a special election later on would very likely go Republican without trouble.
Yeah, and so, I don't want to make that Senate majority any tighter, you know, with taking Ted Cruz out.
No, we can't afford that. All right, listen, we got plenty more of that came from. Some of y'all are weighing in right now. Dave from Madison just says, Gates was just reelected. Couldn't he take his seat in January? Well, that's the point, Dave. We're talking about the fact that he also just tendered his resignation because he was being considered for AG. So, yes, he was just reelected. I don't know what extent his I tell you what, while we're sitting here, if you don't mind, just Google it. Can Gates go back to Congress and see what happens? Let's see what we can find out. Brian from Decatur. It's going to be the quarter of sexual assault allegations and wrongdoing allegations that happened 10 to 20 years ago, all of a sudden popping up out of nowhere. And the reason the Democrats will do this is because they know the Republicans will crumble like they did with Gates. I don't think Republicans crumble with Gates, Brian. The Gates thing was already out there. The Gates thing was already happening, and the Gates thing was already under seal. And the Republican Speaker of the House was demanding that report stay under seal because it did not have the ability to be, in other words, it was not a conviction. So why would you do that to a man's life to bring up things that were alleged that were then cleared? So Brian, the Republicans didn't cave on anything to do with Gates. I think what they're looking at right now is there were a couple of Republicans who would not vote for Gates, but generally speaking, Republicans did not cave for Gates. Mike from Athens, Bongino mentioned Mark Levin. Wow. Wow. Wouldn't that be a hoot? Can you imagine Mark Levin?
That would be unconventional, appears to be the way that they're picking people right now.
Oh, Scott from Athens says, if McConnell, Murkowski, Thune, and Cornyn don't like the picks by Trump, they ought to run for president themselves. I agree. But I will say this, Scott, and this is almost like I sound like I'm trying to give them an out. I'm not. The Senate was elected with part of their role being the confirmation. And that's why the confirmation process exists, is for checks and balances. I mean, think about some of the chuckleheads that the Senate should have said something about when Biden put his cabinet together. Chuckleheads, complete chuckleheads. And they got the job. And that's because Democrats all stuck together and got it done. But the truth be told, the Senate confirmation process is there for a reason, is to prevent things from happening that shouldn't happen in terms of people being in charge. That being said, I think in this case, we recognize that this is a train we should all be getting on. Greg from Athens says, Gates, art of the deal. Yeah, that's what I think too. I think Gates was part of the art of the deal. I'm not gonna be a bit surprised to find out that Gates wasn't just some kind of a red herring. You know, he was the loss leader. They put him out there as the opportunity to have a throwaway, or at the very least, they knew it'd be controversial. If they had to get rid of it, they would. John from Huntsville says, Phil, spectacular monologue. Also, did you hear that a prominent cryptocurrency entrepreneur bought a piece of conceptual? What? Okay. No, I hadn't heard all this, and I'm not going to read the whole thing, but thank you, John. Modern art critique is not what I'm here for right now. By the way, he wants to hear about your football pick'em. He wants to hear Boomer. That's going to be good. Boomer's his football pick'em guy.
Yeah.
Tim from Madison says, Senator Phil Williams for governor. Rangers lead the way. Thank you. I appreciate it, Tim. That job eats people.
Yeah.
Bruce from Springville says, to be a real leader involves being a risk taker. Serving by example, taking ownership of your actions. Indeed. TL from Huntsville says, Phil, another hard-hitting, direct, and honest monologue, blunt, but not degrading. We need upfront leaders, and a course correction. It is one thing, quote, it is one thing to show a man that he is in error. It's another thing to put him in possession of the truth. That's John Locke. Wow. TL must have like a book of quotes.
Yeah. So in terms of Gates, what we were talking about earlier, I've read several articles, and they're saying that the reason he put in his resignation so quickly is because it was 2 days before the House ethics report was going to be released about him. So now that he's not in the House, Mike Johnson has used that to not release the report, claiming that it's very unlikely that he would come back because, quote, you know, he doesn't want that report coming out, you know, whatever. I don't know how true that is, but some people are skeptical if he would come back. So the Independent said that, and then also Forbes said that. In the articles I read, Newsweek as well. But somebody also mentioned that he could come back as a senator potentially. So, and that would
well, Rubio needs replacement. You know, the juxtaposition we have here now is that Rubio is vacating his seat. I feel confident Rubio is going to get, you know, approved or confirmed as Secretary of State, which means that the governor of Florida has to appoint his replacement. And I guarantee you, at this particular moment, Matt Gaetz is in the running to be a U.S. senator.
So basically the summary is, yes, he could, probably not because of the report, allegedly, but Senator having him fill Rubio's spot seems more likely. So maybe we'll see Senator
Gaetz.
But if
he's scared of the report, why go back at all? Here's the other thing, too. That House Ethics Committee, it's not just one report that exists in all of, you know, a perpetuity here. There's a bunch of members of House, and listen, it's like any corporation. Don't think, well, they're all corrupt. They're all out there cheating on their wives. Stop it. No. What you have is people will look at someone and say, I want to make an allegation. Sometimes they're true, sometimes they're not. House Ethics looks into all of them. They have a long history of files on people that are considered confidential because they can be defamatory. They can be used. By the way, some of these folks have security clearances. They have top-ranking intel committee positions. The last thing you want is the enemies of our state using that as leverage in a blackmail operation. So these things are kept confidential for a variety of reasons. And I have to say, if they release Matt Gaetz's, they better release them all, brother. I mean, just go ahead and why don't you just open up that Pandora's box? Let's see what spills out of it. And I guarantee you there's a few sitting members of the body that do not want that to happen.
The same people who are going after Gaetz. Probably, throwing stones from a glass house.
Probably from a glass house. Thank you very much. Casey, your June bug from Hartsell, says, I've been thinking about the very thing you discussed in your monologue, that I recently visited the state capitol in Arkansas, and I told Sarah Huckabee Sanders, clerk, that I wish she could be our governor in Alabama. I just got back from Florida. I spoke to several people who bragged on Ron DeSantis repeatedly for the job he's doing in Florida. I couldn't think of anything to brag on about our governor. Hopefully someone can step up to the plate in our next election and the people of Alabama will choose wisely. Junebug, appreciate you. Jeff from Indiana says, feels like they say it took a Jimmy Carter to make a Ronald Reagan, just like it takes a Joe Biden to make a Donald Trump. Hopefully the voters will now figure out which does more damage to a country, a mean tweet or feckless leadership, because one will hurt your feelings and the other will put you in a body bag, and I know which one I voted for. Maybe you should think about that next time you vote. Last one for the break, JD from Hartsell says, say what you will about, I'm not going to use the derogatory name for Ms. Kay Ivey, but he says for Kay Ivey, she still has the best political ad ever. Bless your heart. Otherwise, I have to agree, he says. All right, there's more text and I got stuff to start with, but right now we got to take a break. Got to give some of our sponsors an opportunity for their plugs. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, making common sense like a superpower. Ran a little long on that last one, so I won't have as much time on this. Let me get a few text messages. Alice from Huntsville says, we're on Newsmax this morning, it says that Gaetz only resigned the present 118th Congress, not the 119th one. So it sounds like he can come in next year as a representative. That's interesting. That's interesting. I don't, okay. Maybe.
I think the Senate route will be more likely.
I think he's probably already called DeSantis. and, you know, that would, well, we'll wait and see. BJ from Harvest, brand spanking new in the text lines. We're glad you're there. BJ, thanks for joining us. He says, first time text, loved your monologue, Phil. This is my takeaway. Oh, Phil Williams for governor. Thank you. I appreciate that. BJ, we're glad you're there, man. Thanks so much. Trey Gowdy for AG, says Jerry from Hartsell. Trey Gowdy, listen, you know what? I could see it. Although, didn't Gowdy... Am I correct in saying that Trey Gowdy spoke out against Matt Gaetz being the I remember a headline. I don't think I read an article. You gotta look at that. See if Trey Gowdy was opposed to Matt Gaetz. That may have been a thing. James from Bucksville, Alabama, says he sent me a link to an article. Says Matt Gaetz returns. Gaetz resigned his seat in the current Congress. He was elected for the upcoming Congress. He's asking the question more than anything. And he sends me a link to an article, which we'll check out. Thank you, James.
Yeah, Trey Gowdy says, quote, Donald Trump's pick of Matt Gaetz as attorney general is absurd.
Okay, that's probably not means he's not going to get the pick. And then Ken from Harvest says, Gaetz could always come back as a special counsel, like a MAGA Jack Smith. A MAGA Jack Smith. Who would he investigate? Who would you, if you had Matt Gaetz walk in, he was going to be the MAGA version of Jack Smith. Who would you imagine would be the first on the block to be investigated? Take your pick.
My pick would be Nancy Pelosi.
Oh, but on what grounds?
Find one. This is what they do to Republicans.
That's exactly.
Yeah, I mean, I think the insider trading is a.
Oh, insider trading.
That'd be a bit.
Obviously, nice.
That'd be one for sure. But
okay, I could see it. I could see certain members of the January 6th committee who withheld evidence from the public.
Yeah,
I could see that. I could see, Adam Schiff, who swore that he had seen evidence of Russia collusion, which, oh, by the way, never materialized. So how did he see it if it was really there? Did he lie to the public? That's interesting. I could, of course, see the Biden family, you know, profiteering off of basically everything about Joe Biden being in office, just on and on and on. Interesting dynamic. Ken from Harvest has got my wheels turning now. Birch from New Hope, Alabama says, Kay Ivey was elected by Democrats. We need closed primaries. John from Huntsville says, is this the Matt Gaetz show? Does it sound like the Matt Gaetz show? Is he feeling bad because I didn't read out the thing about the modern art that he sent me? Dave R. says, Yankees and Dodgers are not playing a World Series. Is that an old text?
That's a very old text. But he just texted the word show. So I don't know why I did that. But.
Okay, thanks. And then Red from Tony, Alabama, says leading versus leading from behind, and he sends me a meme. That's actually really good. I like it. I like it lots. All right, listen, you guys are an amazing audience. We come right back. We're going to jump on into At the Border. We're going to spend some time on this. Y'all, this is some serious stuff, and I got some serious discussion to have with you. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And, oh, yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number two. I don't even know what happened to hour number one. Haven't even touched the dipper yet. Just plowing our way through, and the clock keeps ticking, apparently. All right, let's go ahead and start. All right, let's just jump on in. Just jump on in where you can and hang on. So at the border, every poll that I can think of, good, bad, or otherwise, every poll that went towards the election cycle that polled the issues found that within the top two things, occasionally three, but with the top two things that people cared about the most, the border was included. Absolute control of our border was one of the things that people just said, this is driving me to the polls. It deals with things like national security. It deals with things like crime. It deals with things like the ability of people to feel secure in their own homes. It deals with the strain on public resources. I mean, listen, there are towns right now that have literally doubled in size and more with illegals flooding into those communities. We are not a nation that is opposed to immigration. We continue to have an open immigration policy. We do not just outright deny people the opportunity to apply for citizenship. There may be some gates and hoops to jump through. There may be some things we will vet them for. I get that, and you should. But the reality is this. We're still the country that is not closed off from the outside world, and yet you got to have borders. I know I'm preaching to the choir when I say this, but, hey, I got saved while I was singing to the choir, so I say preach to the choir. Never hurts to hear it again. If you are not securing your own borders, do you really have national sovereignty at that point? Think about it. If you don't control your borders, what exactly do you have in terms of sovereign geographic territory? It's like there's a blurring of the lines at that point. If the next door nations can send who they want across or allow who they want across, and the peoples of foreign countries can just come in and go when they feel like it, then do you have borders? And if you don't have borders, is there a defined geographic space within which you can provide security to your own people? It's not an unreasonable set of questions. It's also really not unreasonable to expect an administration to actually work to secure the border. I mean, seeing how, you know, upholding and defending the Constitution of the United States of America is actually supposed to be what they're sworn in to do, right? We're looking at things that are happening right now across this country that people never thought they'd see. I mean, As I grew up, all my life, the southern border has been the thing. People crossing the Rio Grande, you know, in derogatory terms for people who came across the river, and you know, there were going to be illegals that came here, and you know, it's funny how there's more people speaking Spanish along the Texas border on the Texas side than there are English sometimes. All those things happened. Now they happen throughout the entire country. Now they're everywhere. Now you have illegals that are straining every single resource of small towns and major cities. They're also straining, by the way, the patience of the people of this nation. And don't think for a second, and if you're out there, if you're one of the libs who listens to the show looking for ammunition, don't think for a second, it's just those with white privilege, you don't like it. No, listen, I got news. There's a reason why Trump grew with the Latin vote, all right? The Hispanic vote in this nation move towards Trump in numbers never seen before. Why? Because they're citizens. If they can vote, that means they're citizens, and they don't like it either. It's got nothing to do with, well, it's a racist thing. No, it's not. It's a national security thing. It's also something that prevents sweet young ladies like Lakin Riley from being murdered. In case you didn't hear, New York Post, Dateline yesterday, a judge in Athens, Georgia, found illegal immigrant Jose Ibarra guilty on all counts Wednesday in the brutal murder of nursing student Lakin Riley. You may recall, she was literally hunted down. Right at 2 years ago, I think, she was literally hunted down. Where the testimony that came out about how this guy, Jose Ibarra, an illegal alien from Venezuela, a member of Tren de Aragua, the gang that's known for its violence, that he literally put on black clothes and he went out looking for a victim. There was no crime of passion. There was no consent that went bad. There was no they knew each other and so, you know, they got in an argument and something happened. There was nothing. There was no familiarity whatsoever. He went to a park. She was out for a jog. He stalked her. He caught her. He killed her. He raped her and killed her. And we have every belief that she fought back. He was just sentenced to two life sentences without the possibility of parole, plus an additional 27 years. In other words, we'll never see him again. I hope not. But you look at this. 1819 News has a piece. U.S. Representative Dale Strong came out, really hard, slamming the Biden administration. Dateline yesterday, calling the Biden administration's allowance of a massive Venezuelan gang, Tren de Aragua again, to establish its presence here in the United States, called it a complete and total failure. There's an internal department intelligence memo for the DHS. By the way, how ironic it is that they actually do talk about this stuff behind closed doors, but then Mayorkas will go to say, we're secure, everything's secure. Well, we can see your memos, sir. How about this? An internal Department intelligence memo from DHS claimed that Tren de Aragua has now established a presence in Washington, D.C., Virginia, Montana, Wyoming, California, Colorado, Florida, Georgia, Illinois, Louisiana, Nevada, New Jersey, New York, North Carolina, Tennessee, Texas, and Wisconsin. 16 states. 16 states now have Tren de Aragua noticeably present. Law enforcement is aware of them being there. Intelligence officials say the gang members have crossed the border illegally. They've embedded themselves among the masses of millions that have been permitted to enter the country through the Mexican border under Biden's administration. This is Strong, Dale Strong talking. He says, 16 states flooded with this one gang. This is his appearance on Newsmax. He said, you think about it, this is what the administration participated in. We've got a flood of illegal aliens, north of 15 million perhaps. And you look at what has occurred there, and they're coming from 160 different countries. This is what you get, a total failure of the Biden-Harris administration, and the American people are paying for it. Listen, there was a new report that came out, and this is the kind of stuff that just, I mean, it just makes me mad. And also, it's also extremely upsetting when you think about it. There's a report that came out, I picked up it on Fox, came out yesterday. ICE just arrested three illegal immigrants in Massachusetts, and they charged two of them with raping children. One of them was already convicted of the same crime in Brazil, where he's from. Story on Fox, U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE, in Boston, announced on Wednesday of this week the arrest of two illegal immigrants who have been charged with forcibly raping children. That's children, plural. That's plural. That means there was not one victim. That means this is a plurality. As well as a third individual who was convicted of raping a child in Brazil, and they were hiding in the U.S. after being caught and released at the U.S. border. You got someone convicted of child rape who crossed our border and then was checked and allowed in anyway. If our government will not provide security, then what good are they? To provide for the common defense, establish the general welfare. So, yeah, I mean, you look at it and you think, that's your job, y'all. I said one of the suspects was an illegal immigrant from Guatemala, arrested for the forcible rape of a child, was released in Great Barrington, Massachusetts by authorities who ignored a detainer request. You know why? Because they're a sanctuary state. Oh, let me remind you, by the way, that the governor of Massachusetts, the state where they just arrested three child rapists who were here illegally, the governor of Massachusetts just came out and said that she intended not to cooperate with the Trump administration when it came time to deport criminal illegal aliens. Really? Yes. Where's that article? It's somewhere down here in my stack. Hold still. I'm going to get it for you. Here it is. Democrat border for Democrat. No, that's the wrong one. That's Arizona. Because there's a whole bunch of them. Chicago, not that one either. Golly bum, I got so many in this stack. I mean, this stack of resources keeps on going. Massachusetts governor. Good Lord. There. Oh, Boston. Michelle. Oh, by the way, Boston. That's the other thing, too. These guys were arrested in Boston. Boston's mayor, Michelle Wu, says she's going to fight the incoming Trump border czar. Just good luck with that. Just, by the way, good luck with that. In fact, I've got an audio clip. We're gonna play it here in a moment. How much time have I got? Well, we're about at the break right now, aren't we? I'm going to get this after the break. But I'll tell you this. Boston Herald reports that incoming border czar Tom Homan says he hopes that Boston Mayor Michelle Wu doesn't cross the line. He said she's not very smart. I'll give her that. He said our number one responsibility is to protect communities. That's exactly what we're going to do. Michelle Wu has responded to his comments by saying, they can say whatever they want about me, and our public safety record speaks for itself. Boston's the safest major city in America. Really? They just arrested three illegal alien child rapists in your city. The same state, by the way, the same city and the same state that are looking at resisting the Trump administration's efforts to rid us of these illegal criminals. Now, listen, there's a lot more to talk about with this, but there is hope on the horizon. Let's take a break right now. I'm going to come back and I'm going to give you an audio clip from Steve Harrigan from Fox talking about Tren de Aragua as it spreads across the nation. It's something to know. Keep your head on a swivel, people, because they've let millions of people in, and there's a lot of them that are really bad folks. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here, I am talking about Alabama. My microphone stand is broke. I'm sitting here having to hold it in my hand right now. What'd you do? Well, I got up to walk out of the room for a second. I come back, and did you just bootstrap my microphone?
I found it funny though. Did that as you're doing your intro.
I'm just moving the mic, and it fell off in my hand. So I'll just stand here and hold it, I guess, for the time being. Hey, the bottom line is this: we're back on this topic of at the border. It's an epic mess. Like, not a little bit. It's an epic mess, and it's got so much left to be done to get it fixed. But the guy who's going to fix it, it appears to be Tom Homan, with Kristi Noem being the head of Department of Homeland Security and the guy kind of working for her, but as a special czar. In other words, he's going to have carte blanche to develop his own, work rhythm, if you will. And he's going to be leading the charge. And he is leading the charge. And I'm going to play a clip from him momentarily. But let me do this first. Let's talk about Tren de Aragua for a minute. They are everywhere. This is the same gang who has most recently been found to have taken over whole apartment complexes in Colorado. I think it was Boulder, Colorado. And the Colorado governor tried to deny it, and the Boulder, Colorado mayor tried to kind of play it down. And there was one city councilwoman who was willing to say, no, I've got constituents, and they've got security camera video, and it's real. And then you see it, and you're like, holy crap. But Steve Harrigan from Fox News just did a piece on this. It's clip number 2, man. Give me a thumbs up when you're good. Clip 2. Let's go ahead. Just listen to this for a minute about Tren de Aragua and what we're dealing with because of our open border policies.
The Venezuelan gang Tren de Aragua, notorious for beheading or burying its enemies alive, has established a footprint in 16 U.S. states, according to a Homeland Security memo cited by the New York Post. The Tennessee Bureau of Investigation is warning that the gang is active in all of the state's major cities.
They shot an individual, a cartel member, 31 times, broad daylight, on video and posted it to social media.
Texas Governor Greg Abbott says they've arrested hundreds of members of Tren de Aragua.
I declared Tren de Aragua as a foreign terrorist organization so that we would be able to muster every single law enforcement tool in the state of Texas to go after them and arrest them.
The gang formed a decade ago in a lawless prison in the Venezuelan state of Aragua. They began by extorting money from businesses and trafficking women and children. As thousands of Venezuelan migrants have flooded into Colombia, Peru, and Chile, gang members embedded with them, expanding operations from retail theft into the violent drug trade. After a security video showed heavily armed suspected gang members enter an apartment complex in Aurora, Colorado this summer, concerns grew that similar violence in the U.S. would happen in a matter of time. The new administration is vowing President-elect Trump will take quick action.
Finding the criminal gangs, rapists, drug dealers, and monsters that have murdered our citizens and sending them home.
The gang continues to expand in the U.S. despite the Biden administration offering a $12 million reward for the arrest of its leaders. Brett?
Here's an idea. How about instead of offering a reward, you close the friggin' borders and just let them stop walking through the door? There's a great idea. But listen to the kind of things that people are having to put up with. And then on top of that, you got this. A piece from the Daily Signal. Daily Signal. Sitting before members of Congress on Capitol Hill, retired Border Patrol agent J.J. Carroll told lawmakers that the United States federal government is the world's largest child sex trafficking organization in modern history. That's a former Border Patrol agent. Now, that's tough words, and I realize he may be one guy with an opinion, but the reality is he's one guy with an opinion that was formed over years of experience. He has 24 years experience in the Border Patrol, retired as a deputy patrol agent in charge of the San Diego sector. He actually authored a book called Border Crisis. And listen, this is nuts. He said, I state with complete certainty that President Joe Biden, Vice President Harris, Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas intentionally, strategically, and purposely weaponized illegal immigration and used it as a tool to fundamentally try to transform America. Inside this invasion, he said, is the unspoken evil of child trafficking, and more specifically, child sex trafficking has flourished. I tell you what, whoever the special counsel is we're talking about, one of the things they really need to investigate is what happened to all the kids. Do we know? Right now, we're being told that there are 300,000 plus unaccompanied minors who came into the United States that we don't even have track of anymore. We just released them to so-called family members and interested parties. I mean, I've even heard that a strip club was used as an address for them to receive kids in Florida. My God. But right now, there is plenty more work to be done. I got more on this. I'm mad. We're going to talk about it. Phil Williams at the border. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here, Alabama. Y'all, Alabama, I mean it when I say it, Alabama. Y'all, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. I am back into this this dipper. So Tom Homan is the dude, right? Tom Homan is been tapped to be what is known as the border czar. And what I really appreciate the fact is, as Trump's announcing his cabinet, he didn't have to announce so-called czars. He didn't have to. But what he did by announcing Tom Homan was point out that he's not only appointing a DHS, which is expected, that's a cabinet position, but that he's putting special emphasis on the border. Tom Homan's job is nothing but the border. And listen, I'm going to tell you right now, that guy's a pit bull. That guy is like, he is ready to get mad on somebody. Somebody somewhere is going to feel a little bit of Tom Homan's presence, if you know what I'm saying. And I think we're all going to be better off for it. Now, there's a great interview that Tom Homan did. Who's this with, by the way? Do you recall?
And here's the thing.
That's not what I wanted.
Sorry.
Who's the one that Tom Homan's interviewing with right here? It's on Fox, wasn't it?
Yes. Let's not say the name of this reporter.
I'll get to it in a minute. But the reality is Tom Homan talks very clearly about not only what you should expect to have happen under the Trump administration with him being, you know, in that role, but also what some of these so-called sanctuary city, sanctuary state leaders should also expect. Now you can hit play.
So, brother, let's break down this because, you know, you see all these media experts saying that Abuela is going to be deported. I think you have two priorities, right? First, you got to get the criminal element, which everyone agrees with. And then number two, you go straight for those 8 million people that have been coming across the border under Joe Biden, right?
Yeah, we got three rails of business, Lawrence. First of all, we got to secure the border. We know how to do that. We've done it before. Second of all, we need to run this deportation operations. The president's been clear. Out of the gate, we're going to focus on public safety threats and national security threats first. And fugitives, those who cross the border legally, had great due process, had great taxpayer expense, were ordered removed by an immigration judge and didn't leave. They're also a priority. And third rail, we got to find over 300,000 children that were released into this country to so-called sponsors that the government can't find. We also got to find them children and try to save them.
So real quick, Tom, do you deputize the local, like state police, like Texas DPS wants to work with ICE? They want to work with the Border Patrol. Do they get deputized to help out with this crisis?
Yeah, we're going to fight with the 287G jail program, 287G task force programs, both law enforcement agencies that want to help. Since I've been announced, Lawrence, I've gotten thousands of soldiers that just recently left the military. They want to join forces. Police officers that retired want to join forces. But retired Border Patrol agents, retired ICE agents that want to come back. Retirements from Border Patrol, that paperwork is pulled back. There's a lot of excitement to do this job for the President of the United States.
Yeah.
Give me 1 second here before you go in, because I want to play the rest of his quote. But what you just heard, though, is what I believe we're seeing nationwide. I believe there's a sense of optimism, like excitement, really. Oh, God, someone's going to come in and actually take charge. Let me be a part of this. And so what you're hearing right now is Tom Homan himself saying the rank and file are out there going, we're in. We're in for this. I've got one article here in my stack that says that Border Patrol agents, are their morale is through the roof right now. In fact, let me just go to that real quick. Daily Signal. The Daily Signal has this piece that says, Dateline yesterday, 2 days ago, Border Patrol agents are ecstatic that immigration enforcement veteran Tom Homan will serve as the border czar. When you hear that the rank and file are fired up about their new boss, that tells you something. They said, we have somebody now that's come up within the ranks, said Manny Bayon, who is the National Border Patrol Council for the San Diego area. He's president of the council. He said he was an Immigration and Customs Enforcement Director before he wants to fix it. The National Border Patrol Council, the union for the Border Patrol agents, officially endorsed Trump, and Homan says he's going to work closely with them. And right now what we're hearing is they are fired up. All right, so let me do this. I want to go back to this clip we got with Tom Homan. So, JP, if you got that clip, just go ahead and hit play again.
Tom, I want to get your reaction to this story. Apparently, the roommate of the illegal immigrant accused of murdering Lincoln Riley testified yesterday that they took the humanitarian flight from New York City to Georgia before they killed Lincoln Riley. What's your reaction to that?
Look, he should have been arrested by ICE in New York City, but they're sanctuary city. He should never be in the country. Under President Trump, he wouldn't have been here. He would have been waiting in Mexico on the Remain in Mexico program. But here's what I want. For all those mayors and governors who said they're going to push back on ICE to do this operation, I want you to listen to that tape of that young lady fighting for her life, fighting for her breath. She did not want to die, and she fought hard. Listen to it. Just don't say, okay, another one died. No, I want you to listen to the struggles, because that happens across this country almost every day by an illegal alien. So I want those sanctuary city people out there saying they're going to push back on ICE. Listen to that and tell me. I just said President Trump wants to take public safety threats off the street. That's a priority. As elected mayor, elected governor, are you telling me that you don't want public safety threats out of your communities? That is your number one responsibility, to protect your community. So smarten up and work with us.
Tom, real quickly, what happens
all
to
right,
a
go
mayor
ahead and break it there.
Or a local police department?
Let's go ahead and listen. Hit it there. What he just said was so on point. If you are a literal leader of a community, of a state, and you don't want to prioritize the safety of your own constituents, could you just please resign and get out of the way? Because the safety and well-being of your constituents is supposed to be your first priority. And he just put them on notice. He just put them on notice. I suspect that what you're going to wind up seeing is a Trump administration that will no longer play with sanctuaries. If they have the means of doing so, I think they will make life very difficult for sanctuary cities and sanctuary states. And oh, by the way, just so you know, they're doubling down. Really? How can they double down? Can't they read the room? No, apparently they cannot. I've got a piece here from Reuters. Dateline 1 week ago. Headline. Democratic governors create a group to resist Trump policies. What? The governors of Illinois and Colorado, there's two great states, Pritzker and the guy from Colorado who just denied Trinidad and Aragua recently. The governors of Illinois and Colorado on Wednesday, 2 weeks ago, said they will co-chair a coalition of mostly Democratic leads. Mostly Democratic? I'd like to know which Republican state is supposedly joining up with them. I'm going to say that's probably none. With their governor's safeguarding democracy group, Democrats J.B. Pritzker of Illinois and Jared Polis of Colorado say that they pledge to resist conservative Trump policies on everything from immigration to environmental protections. So basically what they're saying is, we're going to make sure you can't get anything done. Oh, by the way, that also means sanctuary status. How about this? Arizona governor, this is the Daily Wire, by the way. Daily Wire, Dateline, yesterday. Democratic border state governor says she will buck Trump's plan for mass deportations. What? Katie Hobbs, who slid into that office without too much trouble, despite the fact that we were questioning the polls. Arizona Democratic Governor Katie Hobbs said on Monday she would, quote, not tolerate what she deems, quote, misguided policies when it comes to President-elect Donald Trump's plan for mass deportations. Hobbs' comments were in response to questions from ABC News about whether she would help the Trump administration carry out deportations of criminal illegal immigrants. Really? She said, what I will unequivocally say is, as governor, I will not tolerate efforts that are part of misguided policies that harm our communities. She's a border state. Did she not just see what happened in the elections in her state? Did she not just see that the state of Arizona overwhelmingly wanted to fix their own border, and she's the governor, and she's going to say that she is not going to help in what she deems misguided policies? Pray tell, what misguided policies are they? Because right next door to you, ma'am, in Texas, Governor Abbott, Fox News story, Dateline today. Governor Abbott is outlining Texas' massive offer to aid Trump's deportations. Fires back at the so-called resistance governors. What's that about? Well, Governor Abbott's had Operation Lone Star going now for 2 years. And they've made a dent. They've made a big dent in the ability of states to fight back. They've empowered states to recognize they can fight back. Governor Abbott's been, in my opinion, probably one of the shining examples of somebody who takes the safety of his citizens and their well-being to heart. But not only are they doing what they can to continue blocking and tackling, they just offered up a 1,400-acre plot in Starr County from Texas Land Commissioner Don Buckingham to the U.S. government to use as a new site for staging the deportations. Really? Yep. They're going to make it federal land so they can do what they need to do in that facility. And Trump is already saying he's very thankful and he's looking forward to working with them on this and see where it goes. Meanwhile, Chicago's mayor who can never read the room, Brandon Johnson, local news WTTW, Dateline 2 weeks ago, city officials will continue to shield all immigrants in Chicago from federal agents, regardless of whether they're citizens. Really? Just doesn't matter. Mayor Brandon Johnson, he says, we will not bend or break. Our values will remain strong and firm. We will face likely hurdles in our work over the next 4 years, but we will not be stopped. We will not go back. He basically says he could care less about illegal immigration and the crime that it brings. He could care less about the strain on his city's resources and the amount of money they're spending to house illegals. He could care less. How about this? I'll go one step further. Chicago's had that thing in place for a while, right? Los Angeles voted 2 days ago to become a sanctuary city. What? Like, you're looking at it. You're Los Angeles. You're one of the border states. You're struggling already. You got feces in the street right now. I mean, the whole thing is a freaking mess. You got the highest homeless population in the nation. And yet, Los Angeles City Council has nothing better to do except go together on Tuesday and approve a so-called sanctuary city ordinance that bars city resources from being used at all to assist in immigration enforcement. And city departments are barred from sharing information about people's legal status with federal authorities. So here's what's going to happen, I guarantee you. Every one of these cities and states benefits in some way from federal funding for one thing or another. How about this? I'm sorry, if you can't participate in abiding by the laws, enforcing the laws, and assisting with the law enforcement from the federal government, you may just have to think twice about whether you're going to be getting that check to help you build roads and bridges. Oh, really? Yes, and those things that you rely upon, like, I don't know, state education dollars, I don't know, we may have to make that. Wait, you can't do that. That's children. Didn't y'all try to do that with the Biden administration about transgenderism? You're going to withhold money for free and reduce lunches? We're not going to do that, I guarantee you. But I do know for a fact there are funds. You'd be amazed. There are funds that could likely be withheld. And when you begin to choke off the purse strings, I'm going to tell you right now, they'll start waking up. All right, I got a bunch of y'all texting in, and that is pretty much that dipper. I ran through a bunch of resources. I didn't even get to all of it. I got stuff here in my, but the bottom line is this. It's going to be a whole new day. Take me to a break there, JP. We'll do that. We'll come right back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just a, ain't like making common sense like a superpower. Sitting here holding my microphone with my hand because my daggum mic stand broke. Just go figure.
Going old school.
How you enjoying your mic stand over there? You got a nice mic stand. Sitting here looking at your mic stand from this side of the, I was thinking that mic stand looks pretty good.
It does.
You like your mic stand?
I do.
Are you trying? Okay. If you wake up tomorrow and it's gone, you'll know why. hey, listen, a bunch of text messages coming in. I got to remind you guys, too, there's several things happening. Number one is that the latest video podcast is out as of today. Got it out about 24 hours later than usual, only because it was just in a position to need production that was not done yet. Anyway, truth be told, it's a good one. And so the Right Philosophy, which is the one that I film from home, is available on our website, rightsidemedia.org. You can also get it on YouTube, I guess.
It's up on the Right Side Media YouTube channel.
Yeah, absolutely. Right Philosophy. This is a good one. And I would encourage you to go check it out. And there's just a series of these that we have. So we're not just a radio show. We do a ton of stuff. We got plenty of stuff that when it comes to the written word, we get published in newspapers all over the region on a regular basis. And then on top of that, we have two series of video podcasts that come out every week. I have some announcements coming in the near future. Stand by for that. All this stuff is available to you. You can find it all over the place. We're on rightsidemedia.org is the website where you can find literally everything. You can also, like JP just said, go to our YouTube channel. And by the way, if you go to our YouTube channel, we would appreciate you clicking subscribe. because we as a company are able to grow when we hit more subscriber marks. And that's part of how we do it. So yeah, hit subscribe. It just means that you're not going to get notifications and all kinds of stuff, but there's a lot that it means to us, especially. There's also this new thing we got called the Right Side Report. I mean, I've got a whole litany of these things I can talk about, but the Right Side Report is our new email blast. Goes out every day. And we got a ton of people in that already. Thank you very much. If you would like to get the daily Right Side Report, which gives you insights on all the things we got going on, whether we're selling new swag, you know, what the latest podcast is, what's going to be on the show that day before everybody else knows it, the Right Side Report goes out every single day. All you got to do is the same number that you use for the show, 833-68-RIGHT. Just text a single word, newsletter. One word, newsletter. And you'll be basically sent a quick link that you can fill out, get you right on in there. We'd love to have you. Let me get a few text messages. John from Huntsville says, dying to know when Boomer's coming on. When's Boomer going to be there? He's going to be here in a few minutes. It's going to be awesome. I'm looking forward to it, too, by the way. Boomer hadn't been on with us in a while. Chad from Huntsville says, President Trump should take the sanctuary cities at their word. Let them be sanctuaries. Everybody that does not want to get deported needs to go to their sanctuaries. It should be a self-fixing problem. Chad, you're not wrong, brother. I'm just going to tell you, I think you're going to see a lot of self-deportations. You're also going to see sanctuary cities becoming sort of like New York, where they're really, really tired of it. And it's going to get old really fast when they realize that 2/3 of the country won't take them and doesn't have to, and for some reason their city does, and then they can't get police to come to their aid, or they can't get new roads built, or they can't, you know, get their schools funded. It's gonna take over real quick. David from Huntsville says, Phil, I'm mad too about the Venezuelan gang and Mexican cartels and people trafficking. Thanks for covering this. Maybe Biden or Harris can fix it in the next 2 months. Don't hold your breath. Jimmy from Del Rose, Tennessee says, Phil, I wonder if Lakin Riley's killer would identify as a woman. They'd let him go to a woman's prison. You know, maybe for 2 months. Actually, was he convicted in state court? I think he was convicted in state court. Ain't going to happen. Brian from Decatur says, it is my firm opinion, he says, that with all of what I believe is intentional damage done to this country by the Democrats, that if the incoming Republican legislature gives any benefit of the doubt towards Democrat intentions and policies, they are just complete error. Yeah, great point. Flip from Decatur says, Byron Donalds for AG. Sweet, I could see that. James from Arab says, Steve Marshall for USAG. I like that too. Or governor, he said. There you go. Allie from Athens says, thank you for joining her. Oh, she joined the newsletter. Thank you, Allie. Appreciate it very much. Love you. Dave R. Texted in. He kept texting one word, show, 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 show. And finally he says, I believe they should hire the AG from Texas. Oh, I like him. Ken Paxton, I like him a lot. He's a heck of an attorney general. Let him go after Alvin Bragg first and then Soros second for the insurrection of the United States government. Dave R., welcome to the show. All right, listen, coming up next, Boomer and Lee. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, it is Thursday. We like to call that Friday Eve around here. And oh, by the way, that means we have a special segment we do. It's like special segment today. Because usually we call this Butters and Lee, but I'd like to remind y'all, the way this started was a segment we used to call Boomer and McQueen. As Boomer, who ran the board before JP ever got here, ran it quite ably, he and his dear wife McQueen would come in and we would do this segment. And then when they moved on to greener pastures and broader things and greater heights in the world, we still love them, by the way, and call on them quite often. I can hear him in the background. He's there right now.
I am here, and I am excited to be here, Right Side Ruffians. I am excited to be back, nice. At least for a show. This is awesome.
I am saying. Listen, man, I am stoked. I got to thinking last night, Butters couldn't be here today. I thought, all right, I got to find a replacement. Does not do it. Wait, Boomer. And so, man.
I am, yes, always the replacement. Bring me on.
But you know what? I got to say, though, the microphone stand you put together for me fell apart right before you called in.
I'm just going to say that stand I put together was quite some time ago. So maybe it needed some tightening, you know, recently.
Well, it's good to have you, man. All right, so Boomer's here. Let me call the roll. Also coming in from Huntsville, dear friend who makes time for us every single week, Lee from Huntsville, are you there?
I am here. Excited to hear Boomer again.
Well, he is.
I love hearing you too, Lee. This is awesome.
All right, so that means I got the both of you. So hit me some whoop whoops. All right, Boomer and Lee, here we go. I got questions for you, and then we flip the script in the second round around, and you ask me the questions. So question number one, Matt Gaetz was the choice for nominee for Attorney General by the Trump administration. Matt Gaetz has been the most controversial selection overall, although there have been a few, but this one has been one that really got people's attention. A lot of things said about who he is or how he, what he stands for or how he talks or, you know, what, yada, 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 yada. But believe it or not, he just dropped out today. So here's my question for you. Did he drop out, in your opinion, because of the investigation that was going on about, you know, illicit activity in his life? Did he drop out because of his brashness? Did he drop out because he was a throwaway candidate? What are your thoughts on that? Lee from Huntsville, you first.
Well, I lean more towards the latter, that they were tossing him out there because he was going to be that pick that makes every, you know, just enrages some people and sets everything ablaze in order to tamp it out, you know, for other candidates.
So you think he was a throwaway potential, like the last leader?
Potentially, because he quit before he resigned, before he was approved. And that struck me as very odd. Also, right before this, whatever report was going to come out on him from, you know, whatever investigation. I mean, he's been investigated and investigated and investigated. I can't imagine that there's much there, but I'm sure it's enough to embarrass him and his family, you know, at the least. So I'm sure he didn't want that. But at the same time, I feel like they just can only refuse so many before they start looking petty. But I'd like to add that not one single Democrat ever voted against one single nominee of Biden.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, not one.
Not a one.
So these Rhino Republicans, they're really getting on my nerves.
All right, Boomer, come on in here, man. Matt Gaetz, he decided to step back. What are your thoughts on it? Was he just the throwaway candidate, like the lost leader that they went with? He was expendable. What do you think?
Flashbang. Is that what you call it in military terms when you throw it in? Flashbang?
Yes.
So that's what I'm calling right now. So
it's
I think, I'm saying it was not necessarily throwaway, but yes, in terms of getting them time to find someone else. That's what I think.
I think that's fair. Know. In fact, we got a sound effect for you. Just go ahead and hit that thing right there. There you go. Flashbang.
Flashbang. I think so. I think they, you know, kind of what Lee was just talking about, you know, you only can go through so many, but you know, this one's on, you know, basically not going to happen. So flashbang it. Give me some time to find somebody else.
Wow.
I mean, who do you think? Is it going to be like the Missouri? Is that,
Eric Schmidt.
Yeah, Eric Schmidt. Is that, and then Texas? Yeah. I mean, there's a couple really good ones
Ken
out
Paxton.
There. I mean, obviously,
yeah. Ken Paxton from Texas, I think, is great. I heard Senator Mike Lee being offered up today too as a possibility, which I really like.
No,
what?
You don't like Mike Lee? Why don't you like Mike Lee? Is he a rhino?
I don't like Mike Lee. I like Ken Paxton a lot better.
Well, I like Ken Paxton a lot too.
And Ken Paxton's been put through the ringer. And he's come out the other side.
And
so
he has. And I think that Trump can really relate to anybody who's been put through the ringer and come out on the other side of it. All right, more to come on this one. But the reality is Matt Gaetz is out. Now we just wait to see whether he gets back into the legislative process or he gets his own show on Newsmax. We'll wait and see. I don't know how it's going to work. All right, let me lighten up the topic here next. So lab-grown meat. I went there. Lab-grown meat. All right, that's still a thing. And we had a story on our show yesterday. There's even a Japanese company now that will sell you your own personal bioreactor, which really does not sound safe. But they'll sell you a bioreactor so you can go home and grow your own lab-grown meat. So here's my question for you. You go to somebody's house on a Saturday night for barbecue, and they hand you a burger and say, by the way, they grew it themselves in a petri dish in the garage. Do you or don't you eat it, you first boomer?
Absolutely not. Let me throw it back at you and say, I'm sorry, sir. I eat real meat, and if you have a cow, I'll go slaughter it myself.
Sir, how would you like your burger cooked? I'd like it cooked real. I'd like it cooked real. Thank you very much.
Like a real burger, please.
So you're not into the idea of lab-grown meat, especially if somebody grew it in their garage.
No, I mean, I don't even know if I would congratulate them. That's how bad that is. There would not even be a congratulations. It would be a, I'm sorry, sir. I can't even relate.
Could that be the end of your friendship at that point?
It may be. You know, God tells us to forgive and forget. That would be a hard one to forget. I'm but saying. It's okay.
All right. Let's see if Lee's any different. Lee, you go to a friend's house. You're under the guise of barbecue, and then you find out they grew it in their own home reactor in the garage. Do you eat the lab-grown meat burger?
No. Of course I'm not eating that.
Well, there was a delay. I didn't know if you were thinking it through.
No, I was just trying to push down the bile in my throat. And not only that, but I would be getting my keys and leaving because I'm not being friends with anybody who grows their own meat.
I'm sorry.
Gross.
That's
where's the vomit sound? Do y'all have one that goes bleh?
No, we should have a retching sound effect. We don't have a retching sound effect. But I'll be honest with you. I think this is how the zombie apocalypse starts. That's how it starts. People growing lab grown meat in their garage. That's how it starts. The zombie apocalypse.
I mean, if you're growing that lab grown meat, you don't know what you're gonna turn into later. So let's be honest.
You know, and we actually had a thing here on the show, and in fact JP reminded me yesterday, one of the studies said that lab grown meat is so unusual because it continues to grow almost like cancer cells grow, like in perpetuity. It just keeps going. Like you're like, okay, you put that in your body. What does that mean? It's like lab grown tapeworms.
Oh
just saying.
Well, it's dangerous. It's very dangerous. And your body, we have no idea how your body would even treat it. Like, your body wouldn't understand what it was, more than likely.
I know.
But here's my concern, is that you have diseases like Creutzfeldt-Jakob, which people call mad cow, which a deviant protein. How do you know something like that couldn't crop up from lab-grown meat?
I'm telling you.
And it's very difficult to control it and to get rid of it.
I'm telling
period.
You. It's the zombie apocalypse. Hardly. It's the zombie apocalypse.
I'm telling you.
That's how it starts.
Yikes.
That's,
it is. Ugh.
And then you have I can't believe it's not butter. And now we have I can't believe it's not meat. That's because it's not. Oh, okay. Well, that was fun. So now we went from everything from Matt Gaetz to lab-grown meat all in one segment. All right, we're going to take a break right now. We're with Boomer and Lee. Boomer, we're glad you're here, brother.
Happy I'm here. This is awesome.
I know, and you've kept her from filibustering the whole time. This has been awesome.
There we go.
All right, we're going to come right back. This is where we flip the script, and they ask me any question. I just wait with bated breath to find out what it is. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just pulling pins on trick grenades. That's what I'm saying. We're going right back now to Boomer and Lee. Butters is out of town, but Boomer and Lee. Boomer is with us. By the way, Boomer, John from Huntsville just texted in. Says you're currently in the lead on the grades. And wants to know if you're ready for Bowl Mania.
I'm ready. Let's go.
All right, this is the part of the Boomer and Lee, usually Butters and Lee segment, where we flip the script. They ask me any question. I don't even know what's coming. And I'm going to go to ladies first. Lee from Huntsville, what is your question from Wa?
I would like to mention that I am never ahead with John. I'm just going to put that out.
You've never what?
It's a rarity. I'm never ahead with John.
Oh no,
if Boomer's ahead. He comes on 5 minutes and he's ahead.
No. You've won many times, and we've always known that somehow or another you were like a favorite. So don't you even play that card.
Ha! It's like on my birthday or something. That's it. Okay, my question for you is: we've seen ratings just free fall on ABC shows like The View. MSNBC, they're trying to actually separate it from NBC Universal. And just like, they're like separating quietly, and they're like, no, everything's fine. Everything's fine. And then they're going to sell them, right? And I think they're going to sell off MSNBC, I'm sure. And my question is, I know all these personalities are scared to death, especially say like ABC, like The View. I think that at least two of the five should be conservatives. And I mean real conservatives, not the people they have on right now that they call themselves Republicans. I'm using air quotes. They are absolutely not Republicans. So my question is, who would you like to see on that show who could go toe-to-toe with these ridiculous women who try to debate, and half the time they don't even...
Who would I like to see on the View?
Topic. Yes, or any of these others have their own show.
Yeah.
Like maybe Matt Gaetz could have his own show on MSNBC if someone buys it. You see what I'm saying? Like, who would we like to see on The View?
Now they can't get away with some of this because some of these people are actually in office, and if you're in office, you can't go have a side gig. Wouldn't it be a hoot to have Marjorie Taylor Greene in the same studio with Whoopi Goldberg on a regular basis? That would be like massive, massive just fun. In fact, it would probably break out into fisticuffs at some point.
Stroke level excitement.
Yeah. And now listen, I don't know if you've ever seen it before, but I just recently saw, like, if she doesn't get confirmed, I'd say Tulsi Gabbard. Did you ever see Tulsi Gabbard on The View? She wore them out. I mean, she literally there and kept a poker face and said, the reason why you're saying that, yada, 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 and just, like, they didn't know what to do with her because she wouldn't get mad, but she kept getting even. And so Tulsi Gabbard's hard for them to argue with. And then, you know, I'm trying to think who out there. I mean, they're going to probably try to do something like give it to Liz Cheney and pretend that she's a Republican when we all know she's really not anymore. But the reality is this. What we watch right now on Fox is typically more towards the conservative or at least the Republican side of the politics. But they always have a panel member who is going to be not on Hannity, not on Gutfeld, but like on the Five. They always have at least one Democrat, if not two. And you look at this and go,
right,
that's the way it should be, a mixing of opinions. But The View, I mean, listen, this show right here, this radio show, we make our bones by being a conservative broadcast, and we make no bones about it. They might as well just go ahead and say The View is a liberal broadcast, and we embrace it, and this is who we are. Anyway.
Well, they're not making any money. They're not.
No.
You know, they're
listen, there's
I'm saying they can't. You know, ABC sees the viewership in free fall, and they're trying to correct it. And I think they understand that if you put two more people on with the word Republican by them, but they're Trump haters, it's not going to help.
Listen, there's a reason why Joe Scarborough and Mika, his wife, who won't use his last name, went down to Mar-a-Lago to try and make nice, because they knew they were about to probably get axed or sold. Anyway. All right, I got to run out of time. Boomer, you got a question for me. What do you got?
Hey, let's go with, I mean, have you seen how many celebrities have already started moving out of the United States?
Not near as many as there should be.
Not enough.
I did see
just
that
saying.
Ellen DeGeneres like bought a small castle or something in England, and she and her partner are moving out. And I'm like, wow, okay. So somebody really followed up. But last I saw, Bruce Springsteen and, who else? Barbara Streisand, Robert De Niro. They're all still hunkered down in their California enclaves. And I don't know. Why is anybody else moving that I don't know about?
I don't know. You know, it's probably, there's probably other talks that are a few maybe moving, but I'm like, huh, you know what? Good for them. Get out of here. It's all right. You're better without you.
Listen, those impetuous statements, I mean, and I realize they're grown adults and adulting is hard. Get a helmet. But the reality is, They make these comments, and it's immature. It's absolute immaturity for them to say, well, I'm going to leave the country. No, you're not. You're not. You're going to sell off your multimillion-dollar mansion in the nation that made you rich and move away because you're mad. I mean,
no. Pull up your big boy pants and big girl panties and get on with it.
That's
all
right.
Fine.
And don't ever come on my show and say that again.
I consider that they won't leave. I want to sue them because they won't leave.
That's right.
You promise.
That's right.
This
misleading the public, dadgummit. There's got to be something here that we can bring to bear. You know what? Here's the bottom line, though. How many of these people have true relevance anymore? I mean, I look at it and think, does anybody in the current generation even know who Barbara Streisand is? Sharon Stone, does anybody know who she is? Bruce Springsteen, he's kind of come and gone. Robert De Niro, whoo! I mean, I get it. There's still some movies out there with his name attached to them they might know. But the truth of the matter is, most of the ones who are doing this kind of speaking out, aside from Cardi B and Beyonce, are not in the modern, you know, lexicon right now. They've really had their day. So how about you just shut up and go to the house? There's an idea.
Yep. Absolutely.
All right, Lee from Huntsville, we love you. Boomer, we love you. Thank you for being with us, man.
Hey, I love being here, Right Side Ruffians. Love you all. Thank you all for having me.
Outstanding. All right, you guys. Appreciate you both.
Awesome,
we'll talk
Boomer.
To you again soon. See you, Lee.
Bye, Lee.
Bye.
Too good. Man, we've had such a great crew here over the years, and Boomer certainly did come in and help make this show. Like he was a big, huge chunk of it for the longest time. All right, listen. We love all of you, and we're coming into the last final half hour, getting you guys to go home time and nearer to a Friday. You guys stay tuned. We will be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one, I'm talking about this one, the one we're in right now, Alabama. Y'all, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. So I got a bunch of text messages, and one of them was kind of funny because I did not realize James Sherrard had texted me, and he also texted the same exact thing, like in a group text, to the show, and I replied back to it, and it came onto the text string.
Well, you know what I find funny about that is you've texted the text line before. If you look above it, I see a kissing emoji. I see a smiling emoji.
I don't understand what's happening right now. that makes no sense. I think I was testing the emojis is what I was doing. I do not send kissing emojis to the show, just so you know. Look, I'm going to send myself a kissing emoji. I'll read it out on the air. David from Bucky's checked in. He says, Phil, Whoopi Goldberg promised to leave the country when Trump won the election in 2016. I'm still waiting. I've even offered to help her pack. I know. Get her some beaver nuggets and send her on her way. That's what I'm saying.
You know, my first reaction when I saw that Ellen DeGeneres was leaving was, thank God, about time. You know, they act like we're like, oh, no, like, Ellen DeGeneres.
Like, this can't be happening. Yes. You mean like finally?
Yeah.
Flip from Decatur. This is good. He says Kayleigh McEnany on the show, on The View, would be awesome. She is, but she'd have to leave her gig at Fox and think she's got a good gig going over there. How about Megyn Kelly? Ooh. Ooh. I'm pretty sure there'd be blood on the floor.
Yeah, you talked about Tulsi Gabbard going on The View. I think that show or that episode is probably why they don't invite opposition anymore.
By the way, did you see that? What's her name? Is it Sunny Hostin?
Yes.
The other day was required to make a legal decision, and you could tell it was eating her alive.
She her face while reading it made it even better. But then I love how it cut to Whoopi Goldberg going, we'll be right back. Right
In fact, Whoopi is the one who pitched it to her and says, Sonny, I understand you have a legal disclaimer you need to make. Yes, Whoopi, I do.
Wait. You mean you're not allowed to say things that are just wrong on the air?
You can't defame people. Knowingly.
There's a name for that. I think it's called misinformation.
Ooh.
I think
did you just go there?
I think that's what they say other people do, but I guess they do it too. Really?
Apparently they do it to the point that corporate legal got them on the sidelines and said, you will go on the air tomorrow and you will fix this. And oh, by the way, it comes from you, not anybody else.
I thought that was a thing only Republicans did. That's funny.
Anyway, if you haven't seen it, just go ahead and Google Sunny Hostin legal disclaimer. And she literally had to yesterday correct the statements that she had made about Matt Gaetz and make sure that it's understood that innocence until proven guilty is a part of our system and that information that has not otherwise been proven cannot just be asserted as fact. And it was awesome. And listen, and you know what they could have done? They could have like gone to break, but then put that up on the screen in writing for a second. They could have done that. They could have issued a press release. They could have. No, they made her do it on the air.
Yep. It's great. Well,
that's called Do You Want to Keep Your Contract?
At least there's some producers there that have some, at least they're not as crazy as the people on The View. Sonny, you can't say that.
Sonny, not only cannot say that, you're about to fix it.
Yeah.
John from Harvest says, it's funny how all these celebrities still have bank accounts with U.S. currency. Yes, it is. John C. from Madison sent me something that did not come through. John C., I don't know what it is.
He's sending us sound effects.
Oh, they're not coming through on my end. Are they coming through on yours? Okay. Mm-hmm. All he says is, it's a retching sound effect, and he says, I like this one better. So he apparently sent us two.
Mm-hmm.
You mean, so there's like a whole litany of retching sound effects out there.
I guarantee if I Googled retching sound effect, I would have many to choose from.
I feel certain you're right. Ben from Decatur says, regarding lab-grown meat, it's the coronavirus of food. Listen, I'm just saying, if somebody grows a piece of meat in the garage and then puts it on the grill and tries to serve it to you, they are not your friend. Not at all.
These are the same people that say eating steak and eggs is bad for you. But lab-grown meats, that's great.
Steak and eggs, that's a pastime, man.
Yeah, I know.
That's a sport.
That's picking up some steam in the science world. About steak and eggs is bad for you.
Stop it. Mark from Red Bay says, Phil, I have a bioreactor at home to grow my own meat. We call it a pasture. Nice. Mark, appreciate you. Chef Ben from Aniana says, all these people bragging about turning veggies into meat, cows have been doing that since creation. Yes, thank you. And by the way, if you don't want to eat meat, then don't make something and pretend that it's meat. Just don't eat meat. Go away. But we want the taste. No, you don't. Apparently you don't, or you'd eat it. Thank you very much. But it comes from an animal. Yeah, and that's the way God intended it. Thank you very much. Where do you think bacon? Don't give me fake bacon. I don't even like the idea of turkey bacon. You ever had turkey bacon?
Yeah.
That shouldn't happen.
No.
Turkeys don't make bacon.
Yeah, there's one way to do bacon.
By the way, you also can't get nut milk. There's no such thing as udders on a nut.
Almond milk? Yeah,
the almond milk? Yeah. There are little tiny udders on almonds? No, they're not. How do you get almond milk? No, it doesn't work that way. It's not milk. It's just call it like almond squeezins or something, but it's not milk. I mean, oranges don't have orange milk. They have orange juice.
Yeah, exactly.
So if you're going to have this nut stuff, then it's going to wind up being juice, not milk. Thank you very much.
Almond juice.
I'm just getting mad. I'm on a soapbox right now. JT from Town Creek says, I heard that Gates is going to be named by DeSantis to replace Bruce. Well, JT, if you got an article, and I've been speculating that kind of thing myself, but if you got an article that says, it's, you know, sources say, let me see it.
Yeah, I don't think anything's official, but I think that's what people are. I think that's what majority of people think is likely to happen. So.
And by the way, what a gig.
Yeah.
I mean, so is it possible, though, that they looked at him and said, look, man, this is getting kind of dicey. You might get in the way of some of our other, you know, nominees getting appointed quicker. You're going to gym up the process. Tell you what, how do you like being U.S. Senator? Really? I'll take it. They welcome in the conversation.
Yeah.
Lewis from Birmingham, canary in the coal mine is what I think Boomer is going for. Everyone show your true colors as quickly as possible. What was the question that Boomer was talking about? I don't even remember what that was.
Don't either.
Okay. Dylan, thank you, though. Appreciate you, Lewis. Dylan from Athens says, sorry, this is unrelated. Okay, then I'm not going to read it. Thank you very much. Oh, wait, it is related. Fox News reports that Ellen DeGeneres has left the country. We did talk
It was unrelated at the time he sent it, but we got to it on our own.
See, so Dylan, you were prognosticating about what was coming on the show later.
You weren't unrelated. You were just early.
Sean from Madison says, lab-grown meat in ranger school. I would have asked for seconds. You know, Sean, I guess I can see that. In fact, I remember when they gave us that live chicken we had to kill the survival portion of Desert Phase years ago in Dugway. Yeah, that was okay. Tasted mighty fine. Tasted like chicken. I don't know. Lab-grown meat, that may have been what was in the old MREs. We had those dehydrated pork patties and dehydrated. I'm through speculating. There's no telling what was in that MRE. Badger, by the way, Sean, thank you for your service. Rangers lead the way.
By the way, if you're saying you would have eaten it in Ranger school, I feel like you probably would have eaten most of anything back in Ranger school.
I ate dirt in Ranger school.
Yeah. So
I ate my buddy's cigarette butts in Ranger school. Mm. I had a friend.
Did you really?
No. I had a friend who actually ate an entire tube of toothpaste and it made him sick because it tasted like it had flavor, so he ate it.
So maybe that's not the best gauge of good quality food.
I knew one guy at Ranger School who somehow or another wound up with an extra MRE. He was not a chow thief, which, by the way, a chow thief was like, that was an executable offense. But somehow or another, he got into a leadership position that kept him so busy, he never even got a chance to eat like the one MRE we had for the day. And so like the next day he had two, which was like, dude, you got two MRE. Everybody was jealous. And he goes, And one guy in his fighting position said, it's Foxhole, says, hey, man, I'll give you $20 for it. Will you really? Yeah. Hang on. He walked to the next foxhole. Joe says he'll give me $20 for this MRE. What do you got? Oh, I'll do 30. He walked the entire perimeter bidding out this one MRE. I really was kind of mad at him. He got $77 for that MRE.
Oh, my gosh. That's smart.
That's smart. I almost felt like he was taking advantage of people. But Scott from Somerville says, if steak and eggs is wrong, I don't want to be right. I'm with you, brother. Yep. I'm with you. Let's start it. I feel like he's got a new country song there. Lou from Athens, I think the place where you will see lab-grown meat, or rather not see it, is in hot dogs and bologna. Listen, they better pre-label the packaging. And if I buy a pack of bologna and Oscar Mayer serves it up and they don't say on it that it was lab-grown, it's going to be some class action lawsuit, and I will be the attorney and the client all at the same time.
What was the title they gave it to make it seem more appetizing? Oh, I can't remember what.
Cultured meat.
Yes, that's what it was.
Cultured meat.
Now, that's just called lying.
Last few for the break, and then we'll come back and wrap the show. JT from Lacey Springs says, when will there be an episode of JP and Lee? Well, we did that just a couple weeks ago.
I was Butters' fill-in that one time.
I know.
Yep.
So Butters has apparently got high absenteeism lately. But yes, we had a JP and Lee just, 3 weeks ago, thereabouts?
Yeah, somewhere in there.
Rough Leanne from Huntsville says, olive oil is olive milk. Stop it. You can't do that. So that's right. So we have olive oil. We have orange juice. But for some reason, we have nut milk. It's not right.
I don't know. Me personally, I like almond milk. I don't drink it regularly, but I don't think it's bad. Maybe you're just against the terminology. That's incorrect.
I refuse to confirm or deny whether I've ever had so-called almond milk, but I do fuss about it every time. Joe from Elkmont says, please show this to Phil when you can. Thank you. I see it, but I can't open it because I'm on the air right now, and it's a YouTube link, but I appreciate it, Joe. And then last one for the break, Mike from Huntsville comes on and says, Mike from Huntsville, MRE, meals refused by Ethiopians. Yes, I have seen that. It's also meals reconstituted by Rangers. But anyway, all said and done, we are going to a break. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, you guys are amazing. Steve from Athens, by the way, he's checked in real quick, and he says, sea rations were better. They didn't have lab-grown meat. I know. Sea rats came in those cans, man. Got that pound cake in a can. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Man, making common sense like a superpower. A couple of quick text messages. Stephen from Athens again. He says, Peaches. Says, love your show. Been listening to WVNN since you started. Thank you, man. Appreciate you very much. Yes. And the peaches in the Sea Rats were amazing. But I tell you what else was amazing was the dehydrated peaches in the MREs. I loved them. If you ate them raw, they'd suck all the water out of your body, though. So that was the thing. John from Huntsville's got the grades in. He says, JP dropped from a tie for third to fourth place with a B+ after saying that almond milk is not bad.
Hey, so, man, I gotta be truthful here.
He says, so Phil is now the winner of the imaginary bronze medal with a solid A. Lee from Huntsville was imaginary silver medal with an A++, but today's imaginary gold medal winner is obviously Boomer with a perfect A++. Congratulations. I don't know why, but I had a feeling the fix was in on that one already.
I think it was.
Hey, let me go to the phones. Our favorite truck driving man, Jeff Rowe from Indiana, is on the line. Hey, buddy, how you doing?
Well, you know where I'm at, so I'm doing real good right now.
Well, at least it ain't raining. There's that.
Oh yeah,
you're rolling through Nashville right now, right?
I'm past Nashville, but the suburbs are worse than Nashville.
Holy cow! Everybody's in go home mode up there. They're on Central Time in Nashville. Yeah, so it's definitely 5 o'clock rush hour. Sure enough,
it's 5 o'clock somewhere. Isn't it?
what do you think, man? Are you going to have a bioreactor in your backyard growing lab grown meat?
No, I'm going to see if I can get that my boy's gun that I showed you the other day there to maybe shoot it and kill it. I don't know. Do you shoot lab-grown meat to put it out of its misery or what?
I think you shoot the machine that makes it so that the zombie apocalypse doesn't start. That's what I think.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah.
But on a good note, though, Matt Gaetz is out now.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to figure out who you would want in there, I don't care really who's in there, but we got to put the blinders back on Lady Justice.
Yeah.
I don't care if you're Republican or Democrat or whatever, or who, if you're the highest person in the nation or the lowest person in the nation. We have to have equal justice system, and we don't have that now. And Matt Gaetz, I think, was going to start bringing us back to that, because I kind of figured he would start prosecuting all these Democrats that actually had criminal records and that did criminal things, and you know, make them pay just the way they did. The Republicans seem to get put in jail, but the Democrats never do. Like the guy, the Breitbart guy, you know, he refused to testify against in Congress there, you know. So last I remember, Hunter Biden refused to testify there, you know, and missed his snubbed him and everything. But I never heard anybody want to put him in jail, did you?
No. In fact, the Hunter Biden saga is still kind of ongoing. And meanwhile, he was at Disney World the other day. So I guess, you know, he's got time to kill with the family. I look at it, and I agree with you. Whoever it is needs to be game on, have a pretty stiff backbone. But at the same time, you're right. The blinders have got to go right back on. The blindfold's got to go right back on to Lady Justice, because we've got to get away from this two-tiered system of justice. Absolutely got to.
Yeah, I don't want trumped-up charges, pardon the pun, but but we need to at least charge people where crimes have been committed. Just like Hillary Clinton, she skated on it just because of who she was.
Yeah.
You know, and she was known criminal. So that end, it just, like I say, I'm not going to trust the justice system until the justice system proves itself.
Well, I think the bottom line is this. Everything has a chance to be different right now. If we don't take advantage of this opportunity for everything to be different than what it's been the last 4 years, it's on us. You know, the Republicans own the majority in every aspect of government. If they don't get the changes put in place, it is absolutely on us. And I'd like to know, you know, basically who's caving at that point.
We need to remember that at election time. Rhinos have to go bye-bye. I mean, Democrats stay together, stick together like glue. And if we don't stick together, they're going to beat us.
All right, brother. Well, listen, be safe on the road. We'll talk to you tomorrow, probably.
Have a good one, Phil.
All right, man. We'll see you. Listen, as we head into the final moments of the show, I had a whole segment here. It's not going to happen right now, but if you missed my monologue earlier in the show, I talked about the leadership vacuum, about how so often it appears that our leaders right now are leading from behind. It's actually a phrase that was coined, I believe, by Barack Obama, and it was used perpetually in the Obama and Biden administration, and I think they're still doing it. Leading from behind. What does that mean? That means you're pushing, either that or you're just hanging back because you don't want to be the out front leader, and that's not what we need. In the world in which we live right now, we need leaders who are somewhat populist. Yes, I agree with that. At the same time, they are willing to get their hands dirty and lead by example. That means you're out front. Now, that being said, I called it out. If you missed my monologue, I encourage you to go check it out, because I called it out not just on the Biden administration, but right now on our Republican Governor Kay Ivey. Where is she? I mean, one of our listeners actually texted in that she went to neighboring states recently and she heard people bragging on DeSantis and bragging on Tate Reeves and bragging on, not Tate Reeves, but on Arkansas Governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders, and yet she had nothing to offer in response for our Republican governor, who allegedly is one of the most popular governors in the state. Now, listen, I love Kay Ivey, I do, but it is time for Alabama to have a gunslinger in that office, a God-fearing gunslinger. Years ago, I met Rick Perry when he was running for president, and we were talking for a minute, and I said, Governor, because he was governor of Texas, I said, I'm looking for a God-fearing gunslinger. He said, I'm both of those, and I know it to be true. Alabama deserves that. We sit ensconced between Florida, Georgia, Mississippi, Tennessee, some of the great southeastern states, just like us, who have massive potential, but they also have out front leaders who are willing to go for it and get in front of the issues. And I'm ready for us to have the same. All right, you guys, that's an amazing thing to think that we're already through with 3 hours, and tomorrow, though, is Friday, so we will see you then. In the meantime, do not forget, there's more of us than there are of them. God is still on his throne. Stay in the fight. We'll see you tomorrow.